But Hurin and Huor desired to return to their own people and share in the wars and griefs that now beset them. And Hurin said to Turgon, "Lord, we are but mortal men, and unlike the Eldar. They may endure for long years, awaiting battle with their enemies in some far distant day. But for us, the time is short, and our hope and strength soon wither. Moreover, we did not find the road to Gondolin, and indeed we do not know surely where this city stands, for we were brought in fear and wonder by the highways of the air, and in mercy our eyes were veiled." Then Turgon granted his prayer, and he said, "By the way that you came, you have leave to return, if Thorondor is willing. I grieve at this parting, yet in a little while, as the Eldar accounted, we may meet again." But Maeglin, the king's sister son, who was mighty in Gondolin, grieved not at all at their going, though he begrudged them the favour of the king, for he had no love for any of the kindred of men. And he said to Hurin, "The king's grace is greater than you know, and some might wonder wherefore the strict law is abated for two knave children of men. It would be safer if they had no choice but to abide here as our servants to their life's end." "The king's grace is great indeed," answered Hurin, "but if our word is not enough, then we will swear oaths to you." And the brothers swore never to reveal the counsels of Turgon, and to keep secret all that they had seen in his realm. Then they took their leave, and the eagles, coming, bore them away by night, and set them down in Dor Lomin before the dawn. Their kinsfolk rejoiced to see them, for messengers from Brethil had reported that they were lost. But they would not tell even to their father where they had been, save that they were rescued in the wilderness by the eagles that brought them home. But Galdor said, "Did you then dwell a year in the wild? Or did the eagles house you in their eyries? But you found food and fine raiment, and return as young princes, not as waifs of the wood." "Be content, father," said Hurin, "that we have returned, for only under an oath of silence was this permitted. That oath is still on us." Then Galdor questioned them no more, but he and many others guessed at the truth, for both the oath of silence and the eagles pointed to Turgon, men thought. So the days passed, and the shadow of the fear of Morgoth lengthened. But in the 469th year after the return of the Noldor to Middle-earth, there was a stirring of hope among elves and men. For the rumour ran among them of the deeds of Beren and Lúthien, and the putting to shame of Morgoth, even upon his throne in Angband. And some said that Beren and Lúthien yet lived, or had returned from the dead. In that year also, the great councils of Maedhros were almost complete, and with the reviving strength of the Eldar and the Edain, the advance of Morgoth was stayed, and the orcs were driven back from Beleriand. Then some began to speak of victories to come, and of redressing the Battle of the Bragolach, when Maedhros should lead forth the united hosts and drive Morgoth underground and seal the doors of Angband. But the wiser were uneasy still, fearing that Maedhros revealed his growing strength too soon, and that Morgoth would be given time enough to take counsel against him. "Ever will some new evil be hatched in Angband, beyond the guess of elves and men," they said. And in the autumn of that year, to point their words, there came an ill wind from the north under leaden skies. The evil breath it was called, for it was pestilent, and many sickened and died in the fall of the year in the northern lands that bordered on the Angfauglith. They were, for the most part, the children or the rising youth in the houses of men.